Hello, everyone, and welcome to Be in the Know, the ESSEC Knowledge Podcast, sharing the expertise of ESSEC professors. Today, I'm talking to Maren Mickler and Puyan Kashabi, both management professors at ESSEC, about their latest work on knowledge seeking in digital settings. They were actually the runner-up for the ESSEC Foundation Research Award for this research. So to kick things off, can you each tell me a little bit about your research interests?
Of course. First of all, thank you for the opportunity to be here today. In my research, I basically study the influence of new technologies on employee collaboration. This includes, topics on knowledge exchange, but also help and advice seeking and provision. So everything that basically includes the influence of new technologies on how individuals interact in the workplace.
Oh, really interesting. Thank you, Maren. How about you, Puyan?
So thank you very much for having me here as well. My research is in the intersection of organization design and strategic human capital and technology strategy. So it's somehow like about how firms organize their human capital to gain competitive advantage in the wake and face of technology, and also like how organization design of companies and organization of human capital helps companies to innovate and get to new technologies. I mean, I use empirical methods and experimental methods like this paper that we're going to talk today.
Awesome. Thank you so much. It sounds like you both do really interesting work that complements each other really well. And so for this paper, what led you to conduct this research and what were your main research questions?
So the start of this project was pretty interesting. We basically got contacted by a huge management consulting firm that faced a severe problem. They had invested quite a lot into a new knowledge sharing tool, a platform that basically everyone in the firm had access to. But the problem was that no one was basically using it. So they contacted us and asked us, can you help us? How can we basically motivate people to actively use the platform? So we sat together and we talked about, a lot of different possibilities on how to do that. But the actual route we basically choose to go down was motivated from my experience back when I was working in industry. So I worked before I joined the PhD program. I worked in industry in two large corporations, and they also had these knowledge sharing tools. But the problem was, again, no one was using it. But interestingly, everyone was theoretically interested in doing so. They just didn't want to, to broadcast the fact that they did not know something in front of everyone else on the platform, or rather respectively the firm. So we thought about how can we basically try to mute exactly this concern. And a very easy way to do so is to just take away information on the sender of this information. So this is how we started to think about, can we maybe play around with different levels of information provision when you're active on these platforms?
Okay, very interesting. How did you go about exploring this?
So this is like a very delicate kind of like research and question, because we wanted to check the theory, the mechanisms that stops people from asking questions. And because of this, we needed a controlled kind of setting that are best probably achieved via experiments. The first best most of the time is to do a randomized controlled trial at the field with companies, but it's very difficult to run experiments with companies, and also at that time COVID happened. That's why we decided to move to labs and do lab experiments. And like most lab experiments should be informed by theory and based on our observations, experiences of people like Maren, and anecdotes, we kind of first categorized costs that stop people and block people or discourage people from asking questions, because this paper is about like how to motivate people. That was why we focused on the costs. And we categorized things, we categorized two types of costs. One was social psychological costs. So these are driven by others' perception of oneself. So if I feel that others can assume I am not knowledgeable, I may feel kind of embarrassment and shame, or I may feel I'm inferior. That is one type of cost that stops people from seeking knowledge and participating on these sort of platforms. The second one, we call it economic costs or tangible costs. These are These refer to future tangible losses affecting individuals, in our case, when they decide to participate on these platforms. And on our lab experiment, we managed to kind of like mute these costs like separately. In one of the cases, we have a setting with full cost, like which resembles the real world. In the other one, we totally mute the economic costs, so our participants can ask questions without like having economic losses and penalties. So the only cost probably happening there is the social psychological cost. And then in the one setting, we have no costs. And there we measure and register how people seek knowledge and ask questions there. Of course, lab experiments are great because they are very clean and they create a very isolated environment, which comes with a cost. In experiments, we call them, they're good in internal validity, but they are not good in external validity, which means they don't closely mimic the real world and they are not generalizable to the real world. That's why we complemented it with like a survey experiment, which we send our survey questions and scenarios to real world practitioners. And we ask them to imagine scenarios which they are on platforms. And in one case, it goes very well with the, it kind of matches our lab experiment. In one scenario, they have full cost, and in the other scenario, participating and seeking knowledge on this platform has only psychological cost. In the other one, there is absolutely no cost.
Okay, very interesting. What were your main findings?
So in the lab, we noticed, the first result is pretty kind of intuitive, that once you reduce seeking knowledge costs kind of which are associated with seeking knowledge, people's knowledge seeking and participation on the platform rises, and this rise is quite significant. So in the case of like full cost, there is a level of seeking which is not huge, and then when you mute the economic considerations and economic costs, people seek more knowledge and are way more participative. And then when you mute the social psychological cost with the scenario with no cost, people seek even further. But a very interesting thing here is the difference across men and women, female and male participants. We noticed that men only, at least in our lab experiment, men only care about economic considerations. So muting or not muting social psychological costs in the lab didn't make it much difference. But when you muted the economic considerations and economic losses, that really kind of encouraged men to seek knowledge. Females were more responsive to lifting and muting social psychological costs, so their reaction was more balanced. When you reduce social psychological costs, it proved that it was like a big hurdle for women participation in on platforms, and also they also react to removing economic consideration and cost. Results from the survey experiment are very consistent with this. Like it confirms that women benefit more, female participants benefit more from concealing their information on these platforms, and that disclosing their information at least discourages them from participating on platforms.
Okay, thank you. And how do you think the world of work can use these findings? Is there a way that employers can encourage equality while using digital technologies?
Yeah, so I think our findings are very interesting because of two main reasons. The first is that very often in companies, you soon learn that the more people you know, the more connected you are, this gives you a larger stage to broadcast your experience and your personal success. But there's also a downside that comes with this, because your behavior gets literally broadcasted to a larger group of people. Now, our paper, I think, nicely shows that, especially when it comes to behaviors that have some cost implications, in a way that you might feel ashamed to open up about a lack of knowledge on a particular topic, these larger stages are not always good. And these larger stages are very often nowadays a consequence of technologies that are implemented in firms, because technologies like platform solutions are very cost efficient in giving you access to a large crowd of people at the same time. This is great if you think about this from a perspective where you want to source knowledge from others that you might not know personally, But again, it also comes with the problem that a lot of people that you might not even know basically learn about you and your lack of knowledge on something. So this basically prevents people from being active on these platforms that theoretically have a huge benefit for everyone. So we think that with the findings we have at hand, we can inform firms to smartly set up these platforms. And this is already possible by slight tweaks to the architecture of these platforms. We find that for seekers, so the people that actually post questions on these platforms, anonymity or at least a reduction of information provided on their identity can already help a lot. Now, we're also very clear about the fact that this might not be the case for the people that provide the knowledge. Because if you actually contribute your expertise on the platform, you want to be recognized. Okay, so this is a very important differentiation we do. We only focus on the seeking side, and we basically focus on the costs that might come with your behaviors on these platforms. So we think it's a very easy way to implement on our findings in real life in a way that these platforms are very flexible in setting up. So it's a very cost-efficient way of increasing participation on the platform without almost any downside. Now, of course, what we cannot do is to say anything about the long-term consequences that might come with anonymity on the seeking side of these platforms, but we do believe that they do help in the first place to spur activity on the platform.
Yeah, it sounds like a very actionable item that firms can take to encourage employee buy-in. Are there any other implications that you'd like to share for the world of work?
So I fully agree with the points that Mara makes. Let me echo them in another way. Mm-hmm. I think we have come a long way in removing barriers for female participation historically. I mean, removing some of the discriminations that women have faced. And it would be very unfortunate that new advancements in technology, new forms of work, virtual work, give rise to sort of a new gender gap in the workplace. And our results show two things. One is that it shows that there is a concern, and we might have these issues because of like this many-to-many nature of platforms, but also they point to sort of solutions in platform and work design, which is like providing information smartly, designing these platforms, considering the findings of research might be a way to solve these issues for more participation of not only women, but also maybe other minorities. And I think our work kind of sits well and is consistent with this new waves of work about design of platforms. Think about like interesting works about Uber or Amazon that shows that sometimes like managing the disclosure of information can make the marketplace more participative and safer for minorities. So I think this is important.
I definitely agree, especially since organizations everywhere are using this kind of online tool. So it's important to think about how it impacts the employee experience. Thank you so much for sharing this really interesting work and for chatting with me today. And I look forward to reading more of your research.
Thank you for
having
us.
Thank you so much.